Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let's get right into it. This Ben Simmons saga. Philadelphia goes out last night, blast the New Orleans Pelicans by 20 points.
Thank you.
Joel Embiid, I'm 22 sorry. Points. The point guards, Tyrese Maxey and Furkan Korkmaz, who's not he's not a point guard, but he backed up point last night because they were down not only Ben Simmons, but Shake Milton. He gets 22 and 5. So their point guard position, Rob, they got 42 points and 10 assists. So right now, so far, so good. Of course, their schedule will toughen up. New Orleans didn't have Zion, but.
No, but they did what they were supposed to do, though. Right. You know what I mean? Like that's what you do when they don't have their star player.
Right.
If they would have struggled, then they would have been like, really? Like,
right.
They didn't struggle. They blew them out. And I'll say this, Chris, real quick. This is what we talk about in sports. When people aren't there, that other people are ready to play. It doesn't mean that they're as talented as him, but ain't nobody going to sit around and cry about you not being there. Those
Rob,
guys, you don't think they want an opportunity to play?
Right. Look, I played college ball. And the years I didn't start, if the starter was injured or sick or whatever kept him out of the game, that's my boy. I wasn't like I was pulling for that. But when he was out, I was excited.
You were excited, like
I'm
my chance.
Tonight. Right. Yeah, I'm going to go out there and put 20 on him. I didn't, but still, I tried. You know what I mean? So you get excited, no doubt about it. And we're talking, of course, about Ben Simmons, who's missing in action. And there are more developments today. So we all know, to catch you up, Ben wasn't going to come to training camp, shows up because he wanted his money. And
the Sixers held that big payment, right?
They weren't paying him, so he showed up to get his money. He goes through the motions in practice for a couple days. Finally, Doc Rivers says, Ben, get in here, run this defensive drill. Ben says no. Ben, come on, get in. No. All right, get out.
Right.
And then they fined him for missing last night's game, suspended him, obviously, without pay. And now the question was he going to practice today? Or tomorrow, whenever their next practice or game is, was he going to be available? And today the news comes out that Ben Simmons is out indefinitely. And I said this on Undisputed before the news broke. I think the next step is he may go to the injury bug. And that's what he did. He's saying he's had back pain. And the trainers in Philadelphia treated him for back pain or whatever it was.
Wow, he wasn't even practicing.
Right. I'm like, because they actually said the ramp up, you know, going from doing nothing to all of a sudden you're practicing is what gave him the pain. But we saw, if you can't get through what y'all were doing in that little video
Thank you.
And I know they did more, but you know what I mean? Come on. What were you doing while you were out? So there's that, and a report from Sham Sharania of The Athletic said that Ben is not mentally ready to play. So they're trying to play the mental health card. And Daryl Morey, the GM of the Sixers, Rob, ain't having it. He went on the radio in Philadelphia today, and here's what he said.
People should buckle in. I mean, this is going to go a long time because Ben Simmons is a difference maker. So if we can get him back, he will help us win the title. If we can trade Ben Simmons for a difference maker, we will do it. I think that's best for everyone in this situation. Any sort of trade, which obviously Ben Simmons wants, the best thing we can do is get role players back. That makes no sense. That will give us no better chance to win the title if we were to move Ben Simmons for role players. So people should buckle in. I mean, this is going to go a long time.
Bravo.
Quickly. All right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, before you go, he actually said, we didn't hear it in that clip, this might play out for 4 years. They asked him, how long are you willing to go? He said, this could play out 4 years, and that's the length of Ben's contract.
And Chris, I say bravo to the Sixers because I've been preaching the whole time, I'm not giving in to this kid. I'm not giving in. I will hold on to you. I'll make you sit out for 4 years and not get paid, whatever it is. But I'm not going to give you your wish. I'm not going to take less for your talent. I'm not going to do it. Why should the Sixers, who signed a contract with him, Chris, in good faith, gave this guy a lot of money, and they should be the one to bite the bullet and reward this guy for insubordination and turn their franchise upside down, take them out of a possibility of winning a championship, which was the goal, and, you know, trust the process and the whole nine yards, all that down the drain, and waste the time of the other players, management, coach, all that. So I'm with the Sixers. Buckle up, all right? We want you to know, Ben Simmons, you're not getting your way in this situation. We'll do whatever it takes. We'll wait as long as it takes until we get what we believe is fair value for a player of your talent. So I think the Sixers deserve credit rather than just buckling like we see a lot of franchises do, Chris. And in this case, bravo to the Sixers.
Yeah, I hear you, Rob. I it's hard to disagree with what you're saying. And look, I'm typically for the players. You know, player empowerment is fine with me. When they do collective bargaining, I've covered two lockouts, Rob. You know, I like to see the players get theirs. But the reason I'm usually for the players is because I'm for fairness, right? And I want the players to get their fair cut and their fair share.
Well, but we know that they haven't been cut their fair cut for years, right? And I hear you. I'm with you on that.
So you want them to get there. But this isn't fair, what Ben's trying to do. I mean, you've got 4 years left on your contract. And, Rob, I was texting with an owner today who said to me, the owners are going to hammer the players in the next bargaining.
Oh, I don't doubt it for one second that
you have to have something in place where if you've got a long-term contract with the guy, this can't happen.
No, it's not fair that the guy signs a deal and then he wants out.
Rob, is that, you know, there are things in place in the CBA where if a player's on your team, you can sign him for 5 years, whereas other teams can only sign him for four, so you can give him more money than other teams. So what's the step? The next step is for a player to sign a deal with his home team and 2 weeks later say, I want out, right? And you're creating a loophole in the system. So the bottom line is this. Both sides are dug in, Rob. Ben Simmons is firmly saying he doesn't want to play for the Sixers ever again. And Daryl Morey is saying, I'm not trading you until we get a good deal. And if we never get a good deal, then dude, you're going to be sitting out of basketball for the next 4 years. And look, the bottom line, we've already seen that Simmons has cracked, Rob, before the Sixers. Because he wasn't going to come to training camp, and he showed up. And, Rob, here's the deal, because people talk about all the money Ben's got. Ben Simmons, for the first 4 years of his career, made between $6 and $8 million a year. Obviously, a lot of money for regular people. But by the NBA standards, that's not the big payday. Half of that, who knows what he's done with
it. I was going to say, and don't forget, Chris, when you talk about six or eight, and we get it, not regular Joes who are making $35,000, okay? So don't say, what are you talking about? But you only get three of that. You know what I mean? Like half, 50% by the time you pay your agent and you know, your taxes and all that. It is like $3 million or $4 million, not the $8 million. You don't get the entire amount of money. So we're just trying to make it. So he ain't stockpiled he don't have to play
he
again.
Had to come back. Like, he's not in a position of Kyrie Irving. Last year, Ben got $30 million. So that was the first year of his deal. So that's the 1 year he really got paid. But Kyrie can say, I'm good without the $17 million, right? Because he's had max contracts. And he's had his humongous
paydays. He's played
paydays
for years, right?
Yeah, and he's had a movie, Uncle Drew. He's got the Nike deal, his own signature shoe. This ain't that. And so if Daryl Morey is adamant and true to what he's saying, Ben Simmons is either going to throw away his basketball career, the next four years of your basketball career, or you're going to have to play. And I'm going to say this, Rod, like the mental, I'm not mentally prepared, all that. My daughter, I paid all the money for her to go to University of Pennsylvania and get a degree in psychology.
And it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap.
And she is now working in the psychology department at the university at Yale University. All right, so I'm with all the mental health and the extra emphasis on that. But look, there are legitimate mental health issues that definitely need treatment. And then there's just the everyday challenges that we all face in life. All of us at some point in time are scared. All of us at some point in time don't want to fulfill an obligation. All of us at some point in time are put in an uncomfortable position. And it's called life. It's called life. And don't belittle real mental health issues with, I just don't feel like doing it today.
Because
that's
you
not
can't
a mental health
No, because
issue.
You can't get your way, right? Because right. You can't get your way. That's what
it's
it is.
Being spoiled. It's not, and Rob, and I just got, last thing I got to say about it, because, you know, people jumping on, Doc Rivers, but Doc Rivers said this, and but Joel Embiid says, I mean, really? I started playing organized sports in third grade. Well, baseball earlier, but football and basketball, right. Third grade. And all the older brothers in the neighborhood said, yo, be ready to get yelled at. You got to be tough. You can't be up there, you know, acting, you know, just running, you know, you can't always get your way. If the coach yells at you, if the coach, you know, criticizes you, you got to be able to handle
team.
It. Yeah.
Right, you don't quit the
In
team.
In third grade, fourth grade. And you're a grown man and you can't handle the coach who supported you all year.
And we were ridiculing Doc Rivers for continuing to support him because it was over the top.
Yes, it was. It was embarrassing for Doc. And by the way, Rob, Doc didn't even say, no, we
that
can't
I don't
win
know.
A championship with Ben Simmons. He said, I don't know yet. We'll see. Come on, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is going to be an interesting discussion because it's just hard for me to believe. But the Astros and the Red Sox, for that matter, are being accused, both of them, on social media, which is not official, obviously. Right, there, right. You know, that doesn't mean it's true. But they are being accused with a little bit of, you know, with some reasoning behind it, of cheating again. We, of course, know both of these teams have been, you know, called out, exposed by Major League Baseball for cheating.
If you remember, Joey Cora lost his gig, and then they hired him back.
Alex Cora,
I'm sorry.
Yep.
His gig, and he came back, Chris, after.
Right. Rob G., summarize what's going on.
Well, this started in Game 5. I don't know if you guys remember watching this, but during the TV broadcast, they mentioned that the umpires that were in Boston, Game 5 was in Boston, had to have a little conference in between innings.
Right.
Because there was a light shining on the back wall of, I believe it was, right field. So they didn't know where it was coming from. They didn't know what it meant. But Joe Buck even made mention of it during the broadcast. Hey, the umpires are very concerned about a random light shining right here
right.
on
Does
the outfield
wall.
Does that
mean a fastball's coming
exactly.
or a curveball?
And then,
you know, that's all you need.
As soon as it was mentioned in the broadcast, went away and never came back. So we don't know what that was about. Mm. That was just a little bit sketchy. But then it continued in last night's Game 5. Was that Game 5, right? Correct. Game 6. Whatever. Happened last night's game.
Right, right.
The Houston Astros. Now, if you go back 2 years ago, the Yankees accused the Astros of cheating, not just by using the trash cans, which they ended up getting caught for, but for also whistling as a way to relay to batters what kind of pitch was coming. They had two different kinds of whistles. One of them was for a fastball. One was for an off-speed pitch.
And if you remember, if you listen to some of the videos, you could hear it.
Oh, yeah.
You hear the whistle.
Like,
right.
Yes. It was not like – I heard the video, and you could hear it.
Yesterday, during their game, you can hear an audible whistle during Yordan Alvarez when he hit a solo home run. They gave him their first 1-0 lead. And, of course, social media is buzzing around about it. But it became an even bigger talking point when earlier this morning on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, they have found video of this happening throughout the series, including during Jose Altuve's late home run in Game 4.
Here we go.
So the scuttlebutt is that both teams are doing something not above board to try to get an edge in this series.
All right, Rob, let me quickly go first. I'll be quick. This, when I first started reading this, now look, the evidence, I mean, that's a lot of, you know, it's, again, not official. They need, you know, Major League Baseball or somebody official to really look into this. But that's a lot of circumstantial evidence.
Right. There's something there, Chris. It's not like you're like, oh, well, I don't hear anything or what are you talking about?
Right. Like, it's obvious. Right. And I just have a hard time believing, Rob, that after all the Astros in particular went through, but, you know, we could throw in the Red Sox too because it was only a few years ago, that these teams would have the audacity to cheat again? And you told me, Chris, yeah, they could. So go ahead. I mean, you're the baseball guy. Like, it's hard for me to believe, Rob.
I know. And the only reason I say that it's not beyond belief, because what you're saying is all rational, right? It got busted. It was a big deal.
They've been disgraced so much,
Chris. Think about this. That four Astros made the All-Star team and didn't show up in Denver because they didn't want to be booed like never before, right?
Right.
In Denver in front of Baseball America. So that's how big of a deal. The general manager lost his gig. The manager lost his gig. I mean, it was a big stinking deal. Altuve, who was the darling of baseball, right? Like, this guy was like unbelievable. MVP, getting these big home runs. Altuve, Chris, right now has the third most postseason home runs in the history of baseball. You hear what I just said? The third most. Manny Ramirez is first. Bernie Williams is second. And Jose Altuve is third. That's what kind of footprint he's left in the game.
He'd be a legend if there were these cheating scandals.
Okay? They've gone to the ALCS 5 years in a row. Ask Yankee fans if they would love to have that, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So here's why I think it is possible, is because after all the Barry Bonds stuff, all the Rafael Palmeiro, all the
Mark McGuire,
Sammy Sosa. Chris, since then, people have been busted again on the Jews. You would think nobody would think about doing that in the major leagues or coming close to going down that road.
Right.
It ain't the numbers that of before, but some guys have been busted and suspended because they think they're smarter than everybody else. They think they got a way of masking. You know, there are people working around the clock to try to mask that stuff.
Right.
You see it in the Olympics, right, with track stars, all that, wrestlers. They try to mask so that you can't tell that they're juicing or using something. So I'm with you. It seems like it would be ridiculous to try to do that with everybody watching, but I don't put anything past people who are looking for an advantage, and I think that there's too much smoke here for there not to be some fire.
Well, let me throw this out at you, because when you and I were coming up, you know, it was kind of winked at that cheating was a part of the game. Gaylord Perry is a legend.
Yep.
And he was known, you know, it was, what is he doing to the baseball, you know, and people kind of joked about it. Phil Niekro,
you know, got caught on the mound with an emery board, Chris. Do you remember that? He had it in his back pocket. The umpire came out. There's like 40,000 people in the stands and the TV camera on them. And you got to look at the video. Go to YouTube and Phil Negro. And he pulls the Emery board out and does his hands up in the air like, yep. What is that? I don't have anything. Right. And it's right there. It's
like, it was such a joke. And it was just kind of winked at. You know what I mean? And both of those guys, by the way, are Hall of Famers. And it was just accepted. It's part of the game. Do you think that that culture, this is what we're experiencing, is that culture run amok? Where even, obviously, the cheating has advanced with technology. And even as the Astros and the Red Sox were caught and exposed, it goes, we even saw it ride with the pitching, you know, with the what they call spider tack, whatever it was called. Right.
Goo gate.
Is it just like accepted within baseball? We're all looking for an edge, and we'll all do whatever it takes to get that edge. And if you get caught, so be it. But we're all doing it, and we're just, you know, those of us that don't get caught, good for us. Like, do you think that is kind of the feeling within baseball?
I think there's a part of that, Chris, but I think that these guys have taken it to a new level. And especially what we saw, you remember, as soon as they started cracking down on the goo, you remember some pitchers had to go back. Garrett Cole straightened it out, but he had like a bad four or five start.
Where it looked like he
couldn't get anybody out. And then everybody was like, well, maybe, you know, he can't pitch without it, right? Because he was bad. Then he turned it around.
And then went back and struggled again.
And then you look at, I think the technology and the stuff is like gone, you know, run amok, gone like out of control, where people are like, okay, it's one thing to try to sneak a look and see what the catcher puts down, if there's a curveball coming or something.
Which I'm
or
cool
trying to steal
with that.
A sign. Me too.
If I'm on second base and I can figure out what the catcher, you know, sign is, then.
But when you're using cameras and banging trash cans and stuff like that, it's a little more high tech. And the Red Sox, you remember, it was about an Apple Watch inside the dugout. And they banned people from wearing Apple Watches during the game because they could help hitters. So I think that the Gaylord Perry thing, I remember, I think it had become, Chris, almost like a gimmick, because he kept going back to the back of his hair like he had grease on there.
Even when he didn't. Right.
Even when he didn't, exactly. And it was kind of like to psych the hitter out. Did he just put something on the ball?
Right.
What did he just do? I saw him touch the back of his head. Oh, he's going to throw me a spitball. Wow. Right. You know, can I hit it? And then you start second guessing all that. People scuffing the baseball. That was a big thing, too, scuffing it. So the Emery board and knuckleballs and all that. So I think there was some of that, but the high-tech cheating, I think, just like we saw with the Patriots and Spygate, everybody said, well, everybody kind of does that. Well, no one's ever been fined $500,000 like Bill Belichick, losing draft picks over it, right? And then the commissioner wouldn't even let us see the tapes, Chris.
Right, right.
So there was more to that. This wasn't what everybody else was doing. Couldn't have been.
Yeah, this is it's crazy, Rob. It's hard to believe they would do it, but you know, you make some good points. And I think, Rob, and you talked about everybody trying to get the edge, everybody thinking they're smarter than the next guy and they can get away with it. You know what I think a lot of it boils down to? Obviously, everybody's competitive and they want to win. But, Rob, let's just face it. There's so much money at stake.
No doubt.
That it is a huge temptation. Rob, if I take PEDs and that's the difference in me, say, becoming an all-star or me hitting 40 home runs versus 25, whatever it may be, you know how much money that could be?
And if you sign a big deal, you see, I mean, everybody doesn't get $300 million in baseball, but if you sign a big deal, Chris, and you use it, you don't get caught, say you sign a Robinson Cano with Seattle. Remember, he got almost $300 million, right? And then he got busted twice. He wound up getting busted. So
he gets the money.
The money, that you don't forfeit the money. He has the money. He's going to be rich for the rest of his life. And that's the temptation, man.
Yep. You know what I mean? Because it's like, even if I get caught, everybody, the players in the league, we all know what's going on. They're not going to stop respecting me for the most part. People did go at the Astros. in the league. But
I think
you said,
they felt like the Astros had taken it to another level.
To another level. But that's it, man. That's the difference between me getting a $200 million contract and getting a $50 million contract. I mean, a lot of guys are going to succumb to the chance
of being busted.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's a Super Bowl champion. He's a world-class bodybuilder. He's a Fox Sports NFL analyst. And now we want to congratulate him. He is now a member of the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Give it up for our man, Greg Jennings. Congratulations, brother.
Mazel tov. The way you left Green Bay, I can't believe this.
That's why you my guy, Rob. You keep it real 100.
I keep it 100. Am I right? Come on, Greg. You were not happy with the way it went down. You won a Super Bowl with them. You were a big-time player for them. But it didn't end that rosy, and it doesn't always, like, tie back up in the bow. That's a good thing on both sides.
To me, does that make it better? I mean, obviously, it's great either way, and you always want a good relationship with the organization. But that just, to me, says this dude was so good that even though it didn't end well, we have no choice but to put him in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it does feel good. I think for a lot of those reasons that you both are mentioning, Rob, you talk about it not ending well and then it tying back up into this bow. That's ultimately what you want out of relationships, no matter what. Like, yeah, we might have differences, but we can still come together and make something special happen when given the opportunity. And for me, man, it means a lot because this is where I spent most of my career, is where I was drafted. And I put a lot of work in that uniform, man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it definitely feels great. It's a true honor. I didn't expect it. I'm being honest. Like, I played and I wanted to accomplish Pro Bowls and Super Bowl, obviously, and All Pro and all those things, but I never even thought Hall of Fame. Like, NFL Hall of Fame, Packer Hall of Fame, I never even thought Hall of Fame at any point in my career. And so for this to have happened, it's a true honor, and I'm excited and ecstatic for the ceremony.
You know what? I'm going to say this real quick, and Greg, that's why I think, like, Calvin Johnson squabble with the Lions over a couple $100,000 just doesn't make sense. Like, that's the only place he ever played, Hall of Fame player. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, you want to be attached to a team, right? Like, you don't want to be estranged where you can't go anywhere or people don't recognize you. So I'm glad for you. And I hope Calvin and the Lions, you know, get it together as well. So,
yeah, I'm sure that they will. But the word you use is strange. I think that's a very fitting word, because nothing about me and who I am is wanted to leave Green Bay the way that I left. Obviously, emotions got the best of me, and they do for a lot of people. But talking about me, that was not characteristic of who I was or indicative of who I was throughout my career, my tenure there. So for it to tie back up into this bowl, it feels really good.
Greg, let me ask you this as we get into the football. I don't know if you ever had a torn labrum, but obviously Baker Mayfield is going to try to play the rest of the season when he comes back with a torn labrum and have that, you know, surgery at the end of the season or in the offseason. Odell Beckham Jr. has said he's been playing with that for years. Have you ever had that, or at least been around enough players that have it, had it, to know how painful or how tough it is to play through that?
You know, I haven't. I've been around some players that have had torn labrums. It's painful. It's something that you can definitely play with, Quite honestly, a lot of guys play with it, but I don't want to undermine them by any means.
Right.
Because any type of an injury, it limits you from being at your complete potential. Let's say that. And so for Baker Mayfield, I totally understand his rationale why, and I think we all can understand it. Like, this contract year, like, I can't not play. After coming off the season that they had last year, experiencing that type of a high for the Cleveland Browns organization, getting back into the fold of playoff play, and then him wanting to be solidified as a franchise player with a long-term deal, it matters. It matters. So torn labrum and all, yes, I see why he would suit up.
I want to get to Miami and the rumors about, you know, maybe Deshaun Watson being traded, and that kind of came out, and some people say no, it is not that imminent or whatever. But what does it say about Tua? And we saw it last year, Greg, where they gave Fitzpatrick, you know, the starting job, and he was in and out, and then there was talk that they were going to draft a quarterback. They backed off of that. And now this has resurfaced. And then the other part is Houston, when Tua was mentioned, they were like, they want to trade for him, but they don't want Tua in exchange. Like, Tua's not wanted a part of the trade. What are we missing? Is there something going on behind the scenes or in practice that they know about and the teammates know about that maybe he's not that good? Or what are we missing here?
You know, Rob, I think that's what everybody wants to know who's outside of
right?
of the Dolphins organization. Because when you look at what his body of work was during his tenure at Alabama, it's like, okay, this kid has one of the brightest upsides at quarterback coming in that draft class a couple years ago. And you look at how things have unfolded for him, and they can wash this away as if it's nothing all they want, but the fact of him not being a captain on his team says a lot.
That's another one,
from a guy who's been on a team and been a captain and not been selected captain at the same time. Like, you know, like, at quarterback, it's almost a given that this is going to be our captain, because they're seen across the board. Every organization, every franchise, that's the player. That's the franchise. That's the face of the franchise. Even if it's not the future of the franchise, typically your quarterback is going to still wear that C on his chest. So for those players to not select him as a captain this year, that kind of raised my antennas on, okay, something's up down there that no one's telling us about.
Greg, Pat Mahomes leading the league in touchdowns with 18, but also has 8 interceptions, 2 more than he had all of last season, 3 more than he had the year before that. And, you know, some people are looking at him like he's not the same guy. David Carr wrote a column this week saying the downside of his game is catching up with him. I think it's yes, he's got to stop throwing the interceptions. I personally, though, am not worried about him and think he's still the best quarterback in the league. What are your thoughts? Is all these alarm bells about him, are they legitimate or not?
Yeah, they're legitimate because we've never seen them before. We've never seen it like this. But let's not act like quarterbacks just go through their careers flawless with just seasons of just never throwing high interceptions. Yes, we were spoiled by his standard of play coming out of the starting blocks. And so when we see that, and that is your starting benchmark, and you fall anywhere underneath it, we're going to be critical. Because it's like, oh my gosh, he's falling off. Well, no, he's not falling off. He's normal. He's human. He's a player, and he's having a bad stretch. And it happens over the course of a career. What it will show us, if Patrick Mahomes can kind of find his way through this and still be a Hall of Famer or still allow his team to go deep into the playoffs, it's not going to be a hit on Patrick Mahomes. This is normal career, normal quarterback, normal athletic play that I think we kind of put under a microscope because of how he started and how he displayed this maturity and this ability to protect the football. But no, this is him forcing the issue. Look, we've compared him to Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. Well, he's a gunslinger. We know he's going to take chances, and he's been able to get away with it. And this year, it just hasn't. He hasn't won more than he has, or as like he did in the past. I should say.
Greg, real quick, we got about a minute. Did you like Aaron Rodgers when he saw the fan in the stands with the double bird say, "I own you. I've always owned you with the Bears"? What'd you make of that?
Yeah, man. Look. So the only time I really talked trash.
Was it punching down?
Oh, look at Chris. Chris is such a killer.
No.
If Tom Brady went to the Jets and was like, "I own you. I've always owned you," wouldn't you be like, "Come on, Tom. Jets?
Look, Chris,
who doesn't know the Jets?"
Chris, understand this. We've all been in that competitive moment where he talked about blacking out. You don't really black out. You just are like, "Look, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. This is how I really feel. I say this behind closed doors, but I've never said it publicly."
Right.
Like, "I own you." Like, he didn't say that. He didn't say that thinking, "Oh, they're going to catch this." He said it as a real feeling of, "Look, I've been dominating y'all, and this is what we're going to continue to do. You can give me the birds if you want to, but this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my duration and career here in Green Bay to the Bears." So I love it. You probably have never experienced that because always got beat up on the basketball court.
Oh, see, look at you. Hey, you saw the video, right?
Oh, that
you saw? Did you see this guy?
I did see.
Did you see this guy?
Oh,
this
my
God. Shot around the world.
See the video.
Greg, how terrible is that?
That could have easily been you. Buckland, who the one I schooled, that could have been you, Greg. You know that.
Let me tell you something. Man, I'd have shoved that back down your throat.
At least when I put up video of me making a basket, it's against the Hall of Famer.
It was on a girl.
Would you stop?
Yeah,
she's a Hall of Famer.
Am I wrong? It was on a girl. I'm just
Nancy
saying.
Lieberman is a Hall of Famer,
incorrect?
Greg.
I don't care.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's our man, hilarious. Greg Jennings. All right, brother. We appreciate
Thanks,
you as always. Congrats again, man. Great job.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.